Thank you. Hello, everyone. Morning. Happy Sabbath. Shalom. Feliz Sabbath for everyone of you. We are very pleased to be here and share with you this morning. And thank you, Mr. Hofker, for your introduction. We are very grateful to be in this place and having the opportunity to share with you, at least this morning. You may know that we are going to be in another church after lunch. And, well, my name is Gabriel. You may call me Gabriel if you want to. And I'm married with Mrs. Garcia, or you can say Andrea, which is kind of a hard name for you. And the R, Andrea, if you want to, you can call it whatever you want. And who has become now my sister because she was baptized the last week. So I'm very happy, and I know that you are going to be very happy too. We have been married for 2.5 years, and we came here for the ABC. We are very good friends with the Hopkers, and I hope that they can visit us someday in Chile, because a lot of people miss them a lot. Okay. The title of the message, I changed it like 1,000 times. It is Living Sacrifices. It was a Latin word, but I changed it. 30 miles west of the city of Santiago, the city that I came from, there is a small town called Pomaire. 10,000 people live there, and it's very famous because they have this special meal called empanadas de kilo. What is an empanada? An empanada is a stuffed bread or pastry baked and filled with pino. Pino is a traditional filling consisting of beef, onions, raisins, black olives, and a hard-boiled egg. You can find these empanadas around the country, in every city. But the difference here is the weight. They cook a 2,200-pound empanada, so that's a 1 kilo. It's very huge. It's so huge that I never have a one. But the village is primarily characterized by the abundant natural clay in the hills surrounding the town. So they have a large shopping street of clay products. Also, when I was searching information about this, I found out that in East Liverpool, located along the Ohio River in eastern Ohio, is frequently dubbed the pottery capital of the world and America's crockery capital too. During the industry's peak production period between 1840 and 1930, East Liverpool pottery companies made over 50% of American ceramics. The clay soil along the banks of the Ohio was perfect for making ceramics, and soon the area was home to over 300 pottery companies. So I found something here in common with Chile and this country. Talking about Pomaire, this city, I went there with my wife and her family a few years ago. We spent a couple of hours visiting different places. We ate some typical food, not the empanadas, but there is some typical food. And before to leave the place, at the end of the way down the main street, in a corner, we saw a simple artisan rolling a wood wheel with his legs and modeling a piece of clay. There were people around him. The children were asking him to build something. So we decided to get closer to ask him to make us something. He took a piece of clay with his hand and he started to move her legs, rolling the wheel, and with his wet hands started to shape this clay. In just a few seconds, the clay became into a vessel. It was beautiful how he worked with his hands. How this is related with us? Let's open our Bibles and let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So, this word dust of the ground, I can take this and I can say that scientists say the human body is composed mainly of 7 chemical components. For instance, we have 63% of hydrogen, we have oxygen 2, we have carbon, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium. I hope you understand all the word. And we found these chemical elements in the earth too. In some way, we are connected with the dust as a human being. And sometimes I wonder why the smell of the wet soil is so good. It is not a food, but it's very good. There are some scriptures with this idea. For instance, God used a potter's house and used as an analogy to show to Jeremiah how God worked with us. Please go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 2. It says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Verse 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrote a word on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marked in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed God good to the potter to make." Verse 5. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So, who we are? Ecclesiastes talk about this, don't go over there, but in chapter 2, 17, it says, the last part of the verse, "For all is vanity and grasping for the wind." And this reminds me a song called "Everything is Dust in the Wind." Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we are going to see who we are. Who am I? Who are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. "For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." So, we are not a big deal, but we are here because God called us. He took us from the earth and shaped us as a vessel with his hands. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. It's very different from Spanish. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah. Isaías, you can say. Isaiah chapter 64, starting with the verse 8. This is a very beautiful verse. I like it very much, and it matches with this idea. Verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. And all we are the work of your hand. So have we ever heard about the Terracotta Army in China? Well, Terracotta Army, it is a collection of terracotta sculptures depicting the armies of the first emperor of China. The purpose was to protect the emperor in his afterlife. The 8,000 life-size figures date from around the late 3rd century BC. Each statue was constructed to be unique. These sculptures was made from the earth. And these sculptures have gone through various difficulties. They used to have colors, but now colors have been faded, and the terracotta material is flaking every day. Some of the statues have lost pieces, a nose, an ear, whatever, also a head, maybe you can lose. Also, these statues were originally made with weapons for war. Unfortunately, most of the original weapons were thought to have been loot shortly after the creation of the army. So if you want to see a picture, you're going to see the statues like holding something, but the weapon is not there. So very interesting statues. So we have similarities with these statues. For instance, number one, we are exposed to a lot of problems. Like these statues are exposed to erosion, wind, and dust every day. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "For we do not want to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life." So the Apostle Paul's here, it's saying that we are exposed to a lot of problems in the church. Number two. Second similarity here with the statues is that we have no physical weapons like these statues. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we are fighting, but not with weapons, as these statues. And number three, we are in the world, but we are not part of this world. These statues are definitely very rare, and they are not from this era. In John 17, verse 14, let's go to John chapter 17 and verse 14. It says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Jesus was approximately will be sacrificed, and they knew it, and they were praying to God the Father. So these statues are there in China, standing up, even all this situation, that they are exposed, they have no weapons, and they are not from this area, like us. So what about us? We need to be standing up in this world. Now we can make a connection here, very important. We can read through the gospel how was the life of Christ and how he offered himself as a redeemer, our savior. He fulfilled the perfect sacrifice based on the scriptures and based on the more than 40 prophecies. So now, as a Gentile, we can have access to God through him and through his blood. His body was sacrificed in a violent and cruel manner. There is nothing we can do to deserve this sacrifice. We just are not worthy. But as a sons and daughters, in Passover, we renew this covenant with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a reminder, like every feast in the year, to see the immeasurable love of God. Every day we live and endure the test, we give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to see something here. Again, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 26. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to the others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul was standing up as a terracotta soldier, offering his body as a live sacrifice. In Romans 6:13, don't go over there, it says, talk about this, and it says, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. Brethren, we are just something very ethereal in this area, but God can take us and make a beautiful clay pottery, as we read in Isaiah chapter 64. We need to understand how important is the sacrifice of Jesus in our lives, and much more in these weeks. We represent his sacrifice in us. We need to commit our lives to God, so then we can be the work of his hand. It's not something we can do by ourselves. It is God working on us. We are the ambassador of that sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 4 and verse 7, we can see something very match with this idea that Paul, again, it says, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So it is not for us. It is not our power. It is not ourself. It is God working on us. As a current student in ABC, I can tell that during the past week, I spent time with the leaderships of the council in some meetings. I never met them before. And I always heard about them through emails, with some pictures. Also, we always watch Beyond Today videos through internet. I imagine them very far away from Chile, like very unreachable people. But now I can see them. Now I can see that all the ministers, the teachers, the staff of the home office, everybody are human beings. They are just normal. I see them as an earthen vessel. I can talk. I can lunch with them. I can drink a coffee, make jokes, laugh, sing with them. They are normal persons. But they have a very important responsibilities too. Also, I met new brethren and sisters like today. And I can tell you, I was very nervous, but the first woman that said me hi was very warm. So that was very good for me. I met new brethren and sisters with the same big smile in their faces, like you are now. And you know why? Because we know that in the end of everything, we are going to win. Since I started to attend the ABC this semester, every day, every single day, somebody used to hug me. And as American people, they don't hug very often. But he always hugged me and said, "It's wonderful to have you here. Thanks for coming. We are very happy for you." Every day. I wish I could keep that smile on his age too. You know who am I talking about. So, brother, let's take this Passover as a humble earthen vessel, knowing who we are, recognizing the sacrifice of Jesus, and standing up in this very, very chaotic world as a terracotta soldiers, fighting the good fight, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be rough moments that we need to stand up. It doesn't matter if our body is flaking. It's a part of that sacrifice. To finish this sermon, or half sermonette, or I don't know what's the name, let's go to the 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.